Okay, this is going to be a fun and informative, and you longtime listeners will remember in the beginning of this whole horror, this nightmare that has been foisted upon the world, we were talking about the origins of mRNA as a platform for the coming vaccine deployment. And at the top of the list of three people, in his own mind, at the top of the list, was Robert Malone. And there were two other people working in the same general field named Carrico and Weissman. Now, many of you have seen the stories today that Carrico and Weissman were given the Nobel Prize in medicine for their work with mRNA, etc. And we'll get into that in just a minute. But back in the day, and this is 2020, I guess, Malone was claiming that he was the inventor of the mRNA platform for vaccines and the coming COVID vaccine most specifically. And there was a kind of a bit of a row, as it were. You could read between the lines and see there was a great deal of tension between Weissman, Carrico, and Malone. And all of a sudden, Carrico and Weissman essentially vanished, leaving the floor wide open for Robert Malone to claim he and he alone invented mRNA as a platform. I'm simplifying this. And the first person to present this information and talk about Carrico and Weissman was the young lady who is sitting by somewhere in New England, ready to do her bit to help bring the truth to the world. She's with us three times a week. And you were the one who mentioned, you made Weissman and Carrico, basically, you gave them a platform when Malone was essentially trying to, from all appearances, make them go away. But they're back, and they got the Nobel Prize. And the bad news about that is the Nobel is still reflexively thought about by most people as being something really powerful, really truthful, and really important. Well, what they've done in giving Weissman and Carrico the Nobel for mRNA work is make it seem like mRNA is perfectly safe and a wonderful thing to have as a platform for all vaccines. That's the message. Nobel, mRNA, it must be good. Au contraire, as you all know if you've been paying attention, not good. So we have a little audio clip in a minute or two, but what do you think, kiddo?
I'm not surprised. I think there was some talk of this several months ago that this Nobel Peace Prize was going to be awarded to this team, Cataline Carrico and Drew Weissman at University of Pennsylvania. And I know that there has been some tension, friction between them and Malone, and I believe there was an article written a couple years ago in the Atlantic magazine, if I recall correctly, about how Malone threatened Carrico and kind of told her to step back, and if she didn't, it was not going to end well for her.
Didn't he call her something sort of an uncomplimentary tag on her name? He called her, what did he call her?
He
referred
called her
to
Kitty.
Her something.
Kitty.
That's it, Kitty. Kitty Carrico.
Well, yeah, that was, again, that was a commentary that he was giving after, I think it was the Senator Ron Johnson hearings, one of those events. And again, people were disputing, whether or not he was the true inventor of this. And to be accurate, many people participated in the development of this technology. He was one of the first to play with it in the 1980s and develop a patent for it or file for a patent. So it has its merits, but it stalled. The technology stalled because the mRNA was too fragile. In other words, when they put it into the lipid nanoparticle to try to get it into a cell, the cells immune system, these toll-like receptors immediately recognized it as foreign and would degrade it. So that was a major hurdle. And it continued to be a hurdle until, I think it was the early 2000s, that Kathleen Carrico, working in the lab of Drew Wiseman at University of Pennsylvania, was able to modify the mRNA by substituting the uridines with a pseudouridine and then a methyl pseudouridine to sneak it past the immune system. When she did that, the cell was unable to recognize that there was foreign mRNA attempting to hijack its machinery. And so that is really what was the turning point in this platform of transfection.
Right.
So that this was what enabled them to really develop it as a,
that
you want
that
to call it a vaccine.
That let it happen. So we've got a lot of tension at that level in the it's really an extension of Big Pharma, because they're rolling out the grant money for all this research in most cases. So Professor Carrico, there's a statement here. Let's see if I can find it. I think I found it. All right, here's a little statement. Is this just Katarine?
I think if you scroll down, is that the Daily Mail that you have?
Yeah.
If you scroll down, there's a short clip where the two of them are talking.
45 seconds worth. Okay.
Yep.
All right, here it is. This is Kitty Carrico. All right.
I will listen to the...
Hold on. All right, here we go.
My mother every October mentioned me that I will listening to the radio that maybe you will get the Nobel Prize. And I told her, Mom, you know, I never even get a grant. But she said, but you work so hard. And I told her that many, many scientists work very, very hard.
It's obviously the most important...
That's Drew Wiseman, all right.
...an award that a scientist can achieve. It's an incredible honor. I think the important thing is that we couldn't have come to the result without both of us being involved.
Okay, that's it from University of Pennsylvania. It's a little short clip. So, all right, congratulations to them both. As far as the reaction from Dr. Robert Malone... Well, we have that for you, too. Here's what Bob Malone said. Direct quote. Carrico and Wiseman get the Nobel, not for inventing mRNA vaccines, because I did that, but for adding the pseudouridine that allowed unlimited spike proteins, or toxins, to be manufactured in what could have been a safe and effective vaccine platform, if safely developed. Good to know. Pfizer has been campaigning for this since 2020. At first, they even claimed, as did Carrico, that she invented the mRNA vaccine platform technology. Pfizer donates heavily to the Karolinska Institute, which awards the Nobel Prize. Science has been hijacked again by Big Pharma, says Robert Malone. Not happy.
And then below it, patents are what determines who invented something.
That's the punchline. Now, that I left for you. I was going to go into that next. Patents.
Well, that it's a link to his personal website listing his many patents.
Right. So he's kind of crowing about his patent work. I don't know how many patents he has. But as all of you know, there are people in the alt-news world who cite patents as abject proof of many things. And patents are not hardcore scientific data that prove necessarily anything. They're a copyright of an idea, a technique, an approach, a discipline, whatever. It's a patent on an idea, a concept. So,
well,
okay.
And so his contention is that if we didn't use these pseudouridines, that this would have been a safe and effective platform. But,
no.
You know, 20 years of trying did not accomplish that. And there was a vaccine in Germany based on lipid nanoparticles for COVID, supposedly COVID, that was made using just standard mRNA. It was not modified with these pseudouridines, and it was a failure. You know, you still have the issue with the biodistribution of the nanoparticles. Those things go everywhere. And when this mRNA doesn't make it into a cell, in other words, it's floating around outside of the cells, that's also very toxic and inflammatory. So not only you don't get the protein that is supposed to be produced because the stuff never made it inside of the cell to be read and then translated into a protein. It's floating around outside causing all kinds of damage.
Let me just reread the first part again. Carrico, this is Dr. Robert Malone. Carrico and Wiseman get the Nobel. Not for inventing mRNA vaccines, because I did that, but for adding the pseudouridine that allowed unlimited spike toxins to be manufactured in what could have been a safe and effective vaccine platform, if safely developed. So there you go. Every vaccine that's given to children and adults routinely is now being reconstituted on the mRNA platform. Everyone. So hold on to your hats. Our suggestion, which remains at the top of the list, no needles. You don't need a needle in your body.
No.
Nothing good will come of it. Vaccines, I think, have been invented from the beginning by Rockefeller's people, and I think they've all been harmful to one degree or another. I can't prove it. That's my instinct. I don't trust any of them.
Well, and then you look at, you know, what they had to do back in the 80s there, to the childhood vaccine schedule. They had to absolve the manufacturers of any liability so that they would keep producing them.
Because
they were so bad.
There's no reason for vaccines. Now, I know that may sound a little prudish and maybe stupid to some of you, but I believe that. I can't think of one vaccine that I can't live without.
Right.
Not one. You don't get sick from a shortage of vaccines, okay?
No.
You get sick from eating crap food and living a poor life. You don't take care of yourself. Your body is this magnificent immunological masterpiece that is so sophisticated, and you end up defeating it by trashing your body. Then you go and you expect the AMA and the Rockefeller ghouls to come up with these injections that are going to make you safe from whatever. No, you need to take care of yourself. We've learned, if nothing else, in this whole nightmare of genocide, we've learned how incredibly diverse the immunological system in the human body is, and how this injection, this terrible, terrible bioweapon, goes into the body and decimates your immune system. It's war on the blood for openers. We know that now.
Yeah, there's nothing even remotely natural about this. It does not mimic a natural infection.
No. It's all synthetic. It's all crap. It's really horrible. All right, so there's your Nobel Prize update. And, I'd like to look at the bigger picture always, and I would suggest again that the Nobel template now on the mRNA gives it a de facto acceptance by the masses as being good. And it is not good. And we'll hear from Dr. Mike Yeadon in a few minutes, and he will make it very clear how he views the mRNA platform. It's not good. All right, anything else to add to that? And it's like the Nobel isn't what it used to be.
No, and I think another candidate that's going to be awarded soon is that Jennifer Doudna, who is credited for coming up with the CRISPR technology.
Oh, yes. Yes.
And that, so stand that's... by for that.
Yeah. Again, they're using the Nobel to endorse these diabolical, corrupted science.
Yep.
And make them seem okay.
Well, God, Nobel, I don't know how okay. these people sleep at night knowing oh. that their research is contributing to the deaths and crippling injuries of billions.
They know damn well what's going on. All right, let's go to Mike Yeadon now. Mike Yeadon is right at the top of the list of heroes. This man was the chief science officer of Pfizer and a vice president of the entire corporation. He has gone 180 against the whole discipline of evil big pharma science. He knows of the fraud, and he also has an extraordinary acceptance of the reality of the geopolitical worldwide conspiracy to destroy this planet. He understands what's happening. You're going to hear him say things here in a few moments that I think will you've heard them before in some cases, but as I mentioned earlier, just we were talking earlier, and he seems to be more emotionally invested in this now because he knows we are not just facing genocide, we're facing extinction. That's a possibility.
Yeah.
That's on the table.
Oh, it
That's
is.
On
yeah.
the table. All right, tell us a little bit more about Mike Yeadon in your view, if you have anything to add.
Everything you've said, I agree with. It's really inspiring to see him really just taking the tiger by the tail here, and he's not pulling any punches. He's calling a spade, and we don't have time to waste.
No, he fully understands the totalitarian control of this planet and its people. I'm sure he also understands that as people are brought up now on the screen, they're brought up to be professional screen addicts, and their reality is a reflection of what they see. And when you're staring at that screen, you are not thinking and processing. You are simply uptaking information, data, material, colors, music, crap, lies, mind control, propaganda. It's just flowing right on in. You're not discerning. You're
no.
absorbing, and it's like you're force-fed. All right, here's Mike, and I'm going to stop this after about 6 or 8 minutes and jump forward a bit, but it's very, very good, and it's under our names in guests if you want to refer to it later.
It looks like
hold on. I got to get past a commercial. Okay, here we go.
I can hardly describe to the audience how frustrated and angry as well as worried I feel. So I'm a career scientist, as Frank said. It's been obvious to me since about April 2020 that what was going on, the details of which I didn't yet fully understand, had as its logical endpoint totalitarian control of everyone on the planet using digital techniques. And I'm afraid I believed then, and I believe even more firmly now, that it's not just Big Brother and control that we face. It's extinction. And I'm going to describe why I am so sure about that. I'm getting up to three figures of interviews I've given. And it's immensely frustrating because as I gather knowledge, I grow more and more certain of some of the things I'm going to tell you. And they ought to be such that a reasonable person, having heard them, you either got to decide that despite my years of experience and the fact that I've gained nothing from speaking out, I'm either mad or what I'm telling you is pretty right pretty well right. It's the latter, obviously. I don't think I've gone crazy, and I've received not a penny of compensation. I haven't sought it nor accepted anything. So I'll cut to the chase then. So before I get into the vaccines, it's actually really rather important to go back to the big picture. I've got a rhetorical question for you. How many times, what's the right number of times, would you think inappropriate for the public health people in your country and the leading politicians in your country to get on the TV and lie to you in your face? What's the right number of times if it's in relation to health matters that could affect your health, your family's health, or your life? How many times? The answer is zero, isn't it? They might make mistakes, but if they deliberately tell you things that they know are not true and can affect your health and life, I think you should disregard everything they say thereafter. What I'm going to tell you is the authorities in every country have done nothing but lie to your face since the beginning of 2020 in relation to this alleged pandemic. So they told us, for example, that the threat to the population's health was very severe. And it was on that basis that you were going to have to do all sorts of ridiculous things like locking down and getting mass tested. Well, as the reality has come out, if you want to go and check the data, the lethality of this alleged virus is about the same as influenza. So straight away, the entire apparatus falls away at the first question, which is, are we under a severe threat? The answer is no. They knew we weren't under a severe threat, right? I could spend hours talking about this, but they lied about population health threats, severity. They knew it wasn't severe, and they persisted in pretending it was, but the data, well accepted now, is that it wasn't. And then they insisted on a whole panoply of medical countermeasures, really, non-pharmaceutical interventions. So they made you wear masks. I knew long before COVID that masks are splash guards. They don't filter your air. They cannot possibly filter alleged viruses in your breath. They're splash guards. Look at the way the air goes around the side. That's a second lie, isn't it? Don't really believe that these masks filter little infective organisms in your breath. I hope you don't. It's a ludicrous filthy thing across your face all day. They lied and said that when ill people turn up at hospital, if they have COVID, selectively, if they have COVID, we're not going to treat them. No early treatments are possible. No early treatments are allowed. And they made them go home until they were blue, literally. And then when they came back, they were effectively murdered in hospital. That's another lie. They made you lock down, or unless you're an essential worker, and then you could go backwards and forwards and serve them, like making sandwiches or packing food in food plants. There were loads of places serving in supermarkets. Did you know that the amount of illness in food packing plants in supermarkets was not any greater than anywhere else in the community? What that tells you is, and that was fairly obvious, and you know when I've just told you this is true, what that tells you is the whole idea of lockdowns was just to separate you. It made no difference whatsoever to the spread of this alleged viral pathogen. We knew that beforehand. It was proven in numerous peer-reviewed journal articles by the summer of 2020, and yet, goddammit, they locked us down again at Christmas 2020. So I've just proved to you that your authorities lied in your face repeatedly, and they're still lying in your face. This whole thing is a multi-year plan designed to accomplish what it's accomplishing, which is to smash civil society, to wreck the economy, and to introduce various digital controls, not least of which is that war criminal Tony Blair's repeated call for digital ID. And as other people on this call will point out, if you've got a digital ID that you have to present before you enter or leave a premises, remember, every premise could be regulated in that way easily, just by putting a camera and a lock on it, including your front door. Don't think they're going to allow you to move freely around and only stop you getting on planes. They could stop you moving into a shop, out of a shop, or even out of your own house. It's just limited by cameras and electronic locks on a door. It's that easy.
Okay, I'm going to move it forward a little bit. There was a story yesterday, and I've forgotten which country. I believe it was the UK. And someone proposed that, it was a law, proposed a law that said every individual shall be limited to 4 airplane flights during their lifetime to fight global warming and carbon dioxide, etc. 4 flights during your lifetime. I ran that story. It's up in headlines now. You can find it there. So anyway, you heard Mike speaking very forthrightly. He's just deadly serious now about where he is on this. Any thoughts before we go back to this?
No. It's coming.
Yeah, it's yes, it is. All right. Here's Dr. Michael Yeadon. This section I call Toxic by Design. And I think there's no question about it at this point, at least for all of you good people who have been listening and following along and assembling your truths from the information that we've tried our best to present to you to enable you to do that successfully. Here we go.
By design. Now, I spent 32 years in biopharma research. I was a VP in Pfizer, head of worldwide research for respiratory, 10 years in biotech, and I ran my own biotech, which we sold to Novartis, which was then the biggest drug company in the world. So I'm not stupid. I know what I'm doing. So when I tell you that having spent all those years in R&D, we worked on something called rational drug design. When you're trying to bring about an effect, you don't just randomly gather a handful of nuts and bolts, as it were, from the molecular toolkit and hope they work. You're actually trying to ask, where do I want the medicine to be? How long should it last? Should it go everywhere? What kind of concentrations do I want in order to bring about an effect and to do so safely? So when I looked at the design of these so-called vaccines, I found at least 3 things I can describe quickly to you that if you accept what I tell you, you can no longer believe that these are toxic accidentally. That is, they were designed to injure, to maim, and to kill. And the only reason they've only killed about 10 or 12 million people so far is because their manufacturing is terrible. But if they did this again, if you injected, say, 10 more times, I think they'd probably do you in. And that is exactly what they have planned. So the 3 items you should look at. When you're trying to make a vaccine like this, you have to choose which bit of the alleged pathogen you're going to pick to put into your vaccine. Now, I would suggest to you, you pick a bit that was different from you and that was not harmful. So you might pick a bit of, I don't know, a bit of the virus that doesn't seem to do anything to you. Might be important to the virus, doesn't do anything to you. No. Which bit did they pick? The spike protein, the bit on the outside. That's the bit that actually was known beforehand to be biologically really violently active, stimulating blood clotting, neurological problems, and other things. All 4 drug companies picked spike protein. So there you go. Straight away, I knew this was not an accident. Somebody was trying to harm people. The next thing, in order to convert this theoretical drug in your test tube into something like a medicine that you can administer, you have to formulate it. And formulations to make a spray, a tablet, a cream, an injection require you to mix it with something else, and you have to choose what to do in order to make it stable and to protect it and so on. When I looked at what they were doing, they've covered it in lipid nanoparticles. That's both mRNA vaccines, Pfizer, Moderna. Lipid nanoparticles are effectively covering it with fat. Your body has a violent dislike to foreign genetic information. That's how you preserve that most precious thing, your own genetic heritage. So it's a pretty good thing, and not surprising, that your cells are really good at rejecting foreign genetic information, not letting it in. But if you cover it in fat, same sort of stuff your cells are made of, it glides right through the cell wall. It goes everywhere in your body. So they told us when they injected it in your shoulder, oh, just stay there. going to the lymph system. No, I mean, obvious, I knew it was going to distribute all around the body. It's exactly what it does do, and it's what it's designed to do. It's designed to do that. I found a paper 10 years old and well-known to the people in formulation research and development. These kind of formulations, which were designed for medicines that were thought maybe to tackle the most serious cancers. So the mRNA technologies, when I was in Pfizer, we were thinking of them as treatment for really serious cancers. And they just happen to have this feature where they concentrate in certain internal organs, the spleen, the liver, and the ovaries. So yeah, ovaries. So when you inject it with this material, ladies and girls, I'm confident that what has happened is these materials have concentrated in your ovaries. And the third part is the...
All right. Here it comes. Now, here's the truth about mRNA. Remember the Nobel Prize. All right.
mRNA technology itself, completely unsuitable for an all-comer medicine. And it's for this reason. It's really easy. Your immune system is designed to attack things that get into your body that aren't you. Put in another way, anything that's non-self, your immune system's really good at spotting that it's non-self. And if it spots it, it will throw in all the troops it's got, cellular, chemical, and attack that entity to drive it out because it knows you've been invaded. What happens when you get injected with an mRNA that codes for a foreign protein, a spike protein from a virus, a non-self protein, that every cell that gets that stuff, which I've said is formulated in such a way as to go all around your body, including its concentrate in your ovaries, and that point it starts to make this non-self protein. Your immune system goes, hello, I've got something inside me that shouldn't be here. And your immune system attacks your own body. That's one of the most fundamental problems with this technology. And any vaccine that they tell you is made using this new shiny technology, do not allow them to inject your children with it. They are currently reformatting all existing vaccines in the mRNA format. And that's why Pfizer and Moderna are opening factories all around the world, and governments around the world, including mine in the UK and yours in the US, has agreed business terms to acquire enough injections to inject every citizen in your country, man, woman, child, and baby, 10 times over with materials like this, which I have explained to you are designed to go everywhere in your body and to bring about an autoimmune attack on your own body. So if you felt you had some side effects with some of these injections, which I didn't take, of course, because I could see they were going to be dangerous. But if you had some side effects, or you know anyone who's had some side effects, now multiply it by 10 times, because I'm going to finish now. I think the combination of digital ID, which will become your, I think it'll become your One Health digital passport. Why not? It's got all your details on it, date of birth, who you are, where you've been, and your vaccine status and your health status. So if the WHO says we're going to have a One Health passport, that means, oh, you've all got to have all of the injections. If you don't have it, your digital ID becomes invalid and you can't enter or leave any regulated premise. And like I said, everywhere can be regulated if they want it to be. So that's the fate in front of us. And the way we stop this is by recovering the power of no. I'm not doing this. And if enough of us say we're not doing it, they can't win. They'll only win if they persuade us, almost like farm animals, like, you know, just to passively go along with what everyone else is doing. So, you know, I've given the last 3 years of my life to warn people this is what's coming. But I can't save you. Only you can do it. Anyone you know in your network that you think should hear this message, you must tell them. I can never reach them. They're not on this call. And the mainstream media are never going to tell them the truth. It's down to you. If you don't do it, we will lose. Okay? So I'm going to stop at this point. We've been lied to. I don't think there's been a pandemic. I don't think serious respiratory illness pandemics are even possible. And vaccines would never have been an appropriate response, even if they'd been responsibly developed, which they have not been. And these specific ones, these mRNA, have been designed in such ways to injure, maim, and kill, and they're coming at you with more of them. So you decide if you're going to believe CNN or if you're going to believe this guy who's given all his time, having been in the industry or his professional life, given what I've explained to you. So I shall pause at this point.
Dr. Mike Yeadon, and look in guests, and I would urge you to download or certainly send links out to this video. Watch it yourself again. This man is, that's where the Nobel Prize should have gone.
No kidding.
Bravery.
Yeah.
So, there you go. He said it all.
Yeah.
It's right there.
Well stated. Very, very well stated.
Yeah, that was extraordinary. I hope all of you are on board with us, and we can only do so much. It's as he said, it's really up to you to spread this truth around. And it's right there. He's put it all together for you. Okay. Wow, that was really very encouraging to hear him elucidate that so perfectly. It was nice. We spent a lot of time early on talking about one of the multitude of different pathways that this biological weapon of death can take you down and out. And one of them mentioned prions, as in mad cow disease, as in mad deer disease, or CWD as they try to hide it behind. It's a prion. It goes into the brain and it begins to, we'll just keep it simple, make holes in the brain like Swiss cheese, turns your brain into a sponge, okay? It causes microclotting. And whenever you have microclotting, you have cell die-off in the brain. The brain and the heart are the only two organs in the body that cannot replicate cells that have been destroyed. So every time you lose a brain cell or a cell in your heart, it's gone. All right, tell us more. We got some Japanese research here.
Well, okay, so we know from some Swedish research, I think April, May of last year, Hammerstrom and Nystrom, this pair discovered the seven amyloidogenic sequences in the spike protein itself. And the significance of that is, well, when this spike is in the bloodstream, it will be attacked by the neutrophils, which are part of your immune system, white blood cells, and they will begin releasing an enzyme to degrade the spike. And in most cases, that would be a good thing, except in the case of the spike protein, when the elastase begins to degrade the spike, it now reveals seven amyloidogenic sequences, which these sequences, these peptides, when they come into contact with your proteins, will cause them to misfold and aggregate.
And so that's been well established. They're no longer functional. It kills. It destroys
right.
them. They're misfolded. They're dead. They're debris. They're proteinaceous debris, and they are one of the major building blocks of amyloid clots and microclots all the way up the ladder. Go ahead.
Yeah, so this process is so effective with the spike protein, these sequences, that you don't even need platelets in the blood to begin the clotting process. Usually you need platelets to form a clot. And the platelets have to be activated and then aggregated, and then you have a clot. The spike protein is able to start that process without any platelets. And so depending on where the spike ends up, if it's in the nervous system, there are many proteins in the nervous system that are susceptible to misfolding. One of them is beta amyloid, which is renowned for causing Alzheimer's disease, but then you also have proteins that are involved with ALS, that's Lou Gehrig's disease, and then the classic prion, which is CJD, Creutzfeldt-Jakob disease, but there's something like 30 different protein misfolding diseases that can occur as part of a pathological process.
30. And I didn't know that many.
Yeah.
30. That's a lot. All right.
And then there's this, the general term or disease condition known as amyloidosis, which can originate in the bone marrow, and it causes parts of the blood, the myeloid system, to not form the proteins properly, and they circulate, and then they get stuck in various organs and tissues. So this is, you know, one of the really dire aspects of being exposed to spike protein, whether it comes from the injection or the infection or even shedding. All of that is possible because of the protein misfolding activity of this protein. But now it looks like there's a researcher in Japan who was looking at the plasmids that were found to be contaminating, so-called contaminating, the Pfizer vaccines. Mm-hmm. And there was a segment in there that was unidentified. Nobody until now could make sense of it, why it was there, and what it coded for. Well, this individual claims to have sequenced it and has now identified 23 more prion sequences in this.
That's 30 altogether.
That would be a total of 30. Now, this is pertaining to the vaccine, not the virus. Mm-hmm. We don't know. I don't think, you know, this has been identified in the virus itself. This is specifically for the Pfizer vaccine and the plasmid that is contained or was used as the template for manufacturing the mRNA for the Pfizer vaccine. So the significance of that, if this is true, it still needs to be verified, is that if your bacteria take up this plasmid and they begin churning out little prion seeds, well, that can very, well, I don't want to say definitely, but it would be a grave concern because some of these neurodegenerative protein misfolding diseases actually begin in the gut, and they can access the central nervous system by way of the nerves that line the intestinal tract, called the enteric nervous system, and then slowly make their way to the vagus nerve and then up into the brain. And that is now a fairly established source of Parkinson's disease. It actually begins in the gut. And they know this because when they sever the vagus nerve in experimental animals, rats or mice, then those animals will not get Parkinson's disease.
Really? That's fascinating. Just remember, the spike and the prion love the neurology of the body. They'll transit the neurology. You just heard her explain it. Go right up the vagus nerve into your brain. Forget the blood-brain barrier. It travels along the neurons,
yeah,
the neurology
it, it, it
of your body.
Yeah, it can get
body.
That way. Don't forget, there was another study that showed it actually can diffuse across the meninges. The spike protein can get into the cerebral spinal fluid and then diffuse into the brain.
Wow.
Through the skull.
Right, so right through the CSF.
Well, the lining, the meninges around the brain, mm-hmm, can just mm-hmm. diffuse in there.
All right, well, there you go. So that's another look at potential catastrophic brain destruction by this bioweapon, this mRNA bioweapon. And I hope all
I
of
mean,
you...
I mean, you know, if this turns out to be true...
Yeah, we're in even worse trouble, if that's possible. Another major avenue of destruction right there.
I mean,
it's not going to have a happy ending, none of this.
No, the microbiome in the people who have received these injections is just absolutely decimated. I mean, Sabine Hazen, that gastroenterologist that first broke the news about how these people are just have zero bifidobacteria, the further right. away they are from the injection. Yeah. They, you know, it starts to decline almost immediately, and it doesn't improve. It gets worse over time.
Wow.
And some of these babies that are born to mothers who have had the shot they're not able to be colonized by bifidobacteria, and that's huge.
They're not going to make it. You got no bifido, you've got no baseline in your entire digestive tract to process food and theoretically use that food for nutrition. Although we know most food is worthless, but still, you can't process it, not without the right bacteria.
Well, and the other thing is they do produce these bifidobacteria compounds that are involved in regulating the immune system, and I believe that the loss of bifidobacteria is a big reason why we're seeing this explosion in colon cancer cases.
I heard a little clip today. It was in that Riche thing. They both agreed that it takes about 35 years to develop colon cancer.
Yeah, I believe that, yeah.
Long,
slow
process.
And now they're just cropping up overnight.
In teenagers.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah, I read you that case. I don't know, that girl looked to be about, 25? She was young. And she had stage 4 colon cancer.
Yeah, and it had already metastasized. It you're not going to get out of that. All right, we have 2 minutes left. Let's do a couple of our human readers here, the human suffering of this massive effort to depopulate the planet. September 29th, I'd like to do this. There's a picture you sent, pets dying from shedding.
Oh, yeah.
Pets dying from shedding. The first one is a picture. I don't know which social media, X. This would be a Twitter post.
No, this one's Facebook.
Facebook, okay, I don't know. German Shepherd owners, my sons, are completely devastated that our boy Tank, the German Shepherd, suddenly passed away late last night. There's a picture of one of her sons sitting on the ground with the German Shepherd hugging the dog. And then right below that is another story. Let me read this. I decided to adopt a... No, you read it. You're the cat expert. Go ahead.
Okay.
The cat. Go ahead.
I decided to adopt a one-year-old cat. The adoption agency came to my house twice to check where the cat would be living. As we were proceeding with the adoption papers, the representative from the agency said, "He's due for his shots next month." I said, "Nope, I will not be taking him for shots." I said, "I know the shots are poison, and I will not subject any animal to it." I had two cats that lived to age 20, which is unheard of. She said, "I'm sorry, but you cannot adopt this cat," thinking that I would back down. I stood up and thanked her for coming by. She could not believe I was willing to let the cat go rather than give him shots. I walked her to the door, said goodbye, and closed the door. 2 minutes later, there was a knock on my door. She said, "We never had this conversation," and handed me the cat. Clyde is now 10 years old.
Nice. That's the way to do it. Stand your ground.
Yep.
Say no, as Mike Eden said. We have to rediscover the word no.
And then someone said, well, they congratulated her. Love this story. I bet today that wouldn't be happening. Well, I don't know. I think a lot of people are waking up to the dangers of these things. Mm-hmm. And the original poster added, well, thank you. I also rescued a dog from Tennessee 3 years ago. Same protocol.
I was blessed to have a Sheltie, and I never got him vaxxed. And he was fine until he was poisoned with something from China. And I'll leave it there because it's too difficult to talk about. Okay.
No, these pets, they're really, you know, the vaccines are money makers for these veterinary practices. And
we're not knocking vets. Vets are very heroic in many cases, wonderful humanitarians. They love pets and animals. That's great. unfortunately, it's like Rockefeller medicine.
Yeah.
They have to give these
shots. It's been taken over. Yep.
That's right. So, no. If you can't get a pet that you can make the decisions about vaccines, get another pet. Get another one. There are plenty.
You know, there's a lot of talk right now. People are just dreading taking their pets to the vet for any reason right now because they think they're going to be browbeaten into getting them right up to date on shots or whatever, and they're not sure whether the animal vaccines are mRNA yet. To my knowledge, they're not. They have not done that, but it's coming. They will push for that, and they're certainly doing it with livestock.
Yes, they are. As bad as things are now, when the mRNA revolution takes firm control and hold over the entire vaccine industry, things are going to get way worse. Much worse.
Yep.
Okay, that's it for tonight. Thank you. Excellent analysis and great wisdom. Thank you for that.
Likewise. Thank you, Jeff.
Okay,
good night, everyone.
All right, we'll be back with more for all of you, wherever you are around this ever more besieged and beleaguered planet. Hang in there, and we'll be back.